The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jim, you know that not a book will be cracked on field day. That's what my kids are doing
today.
Yeah,
it's a little stressful, though.
I don't think we have finished with my inbox.
What's Scott's tots?
Has it really been 10 years? Local businessman pledges college tuition to third graders.
Please explain.
It's stressful speechless. From the standpoint of, like, God, I hope I made it to the next grade. See what I'm saying?
No.
Michael, why did you promise that?
To change lives?
No, Michael, why would you promise that?
You know, okay.
A day in my life.
Third, fourth, fifth across my mind.
In fourth grade, you were worried about making it to fifth?
Yeah.
I fell in love with these kids, so I made them a promise. I told them that if they graduated from high school, I would pay for their college education. I've made some empty promises in my life, but hands down, that was the most generous.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanted to fight. He doing nothing but running his mouth.
I'm sure you're aware that Giannis Antetokounmpo is currently playing for the Greek national team, trying to get that squad to the Paris Olympics. And so Giannis has been doing some media with, I believe this is a Greek reporter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Harris Stavro, who posted on X, I asked Giannis Antetokounmpo to describe a typical game day in Milwaukee. To be honest, I didn't expect such a detailed reply, but this is gold. So we're going to play this for you. And heads up, it is long. We're going to stop a few times in between to react to Giannis's response about what a typical game day in Milwaukee is like. Take a listen.
How important is time management during the season, and how you feel a typical game day in Milwaukee?
A typical game day in Milwaukee. I'll say my game day starts 6:30 a.m. You probably see me sometimes after the games when the game ends at 10 p.m. I think you've been in a lot of my games with the national team and the Milwaukee Bucks, obviously. And you see me like I don't even really want to talk to nobody. I just want to take my kids and put them in the car and take them home. The reason is why, because my day, that game, I've started from 6:30 in the morning. From 6:30 until 8, I do a specific treatment that I don't want to share with people. After that, I eat my breakfast, get in my car, go there, warm up my body, do my stretching. After that, I do this, I can say, blood flow restriction training, which allows you to play more years, longer years. It allows you to lift weights without actually the weights on you. And you get the same effect. Your muscles get the same shock. After that, I shoot. We do watch film. We go through shoot around after shoot around, recovery, ice bath, stretching, go back, kiss my kids, nap time. Don't bother daddy. Close the door. After nap time, get up.
All right, let's hold off right there. So Chewy, when you hear pro athletes saying my day, and the NBA is a little bit different than the NFL because you guys have a structured week with just one game at the end of it. The NBA playing sometimes back-to-backs.
Yes.
Obviously, the schedule's different. But when you hear that's the first part of his day, waking up at 6:30, doing whatever he does until 8 o'clock, training that he doesn't want to share with people, breakfast, get to the facility, all that. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
I'm surprised how early he gets up. Okay, because they're typically playing, a 7:30?
Yeah.
7:30 game. So if we played a night, Monday night game, 7:30, they let us sleep in, I think, until 8:30. But I think the NBA, aren't they big on naps in the afternoon?
Yeah, so that's where we just paused, where he got back and he's taking a nap.
Okay, so my day, say for a noon game, because we mostly played noon games, wake-up call was 7. Breakfast, 7:30. So we'd wake up, obviously, just throw our clothes on, not shower, because we wait till we get to the facility. go down and eat breakfast. I don't drink coffee. I didn't drink coffee when I played. Now, I would during the practice week because meetings are so long, but as everyone knows, caffeine makes you jittery.
Sure.
Right? And the last thing you want to be out there is jittery.
Let me get this straight. You wouldn't drink coffee because it would make you jittery.
Yes.
But you took a supplement.
That's Agent Orange. That does. It doesn't make you jittery. It just like.
It made Brett throw balls into the seventh
that's
row.
That's Ching. No more Ching. Ching wasn't allowed with Brett.
So you guys wouldn't do the things that made you jittery, but
exactly.
Would take something that would jack you up to the
point. It wouldn't make you jittery. It'd just make you super alert.
Hold on a minute. Have you guys ever heard of blood restriction therapy before?
No.
No.
Blood flow restriction training. Never heard of it before.
Nope.
Never.
Now, I immediately Googled it and was like, what in the world is this? They use a cuff or a strap placed tightly around the limb to reduce but not completely stop the blood flow, because I feel like the completely stopping of the blood flow would
be bad
for the limb and ergo the human. I've never heard of this before. So they restrict the blood flow and then they lift. And apparently you could exercise with lower intensity but get the benefits of high-intensity training.
You familiar with this, Dr. Chimura?
No, but they're lifting before the game.
That's what he's saying.
That's weird. Because lifting to me in basketball, I was always to believe that it threw off your shot.
Well, yeah, but you got to, throughout the course of the season, you got to maintain your strength.
Yeah, but like Barkley, I knew Barkley always lifted after the game.
Okay.
So as soon as the game was over, he went into the weight room because he had a lather going, and he would do his weight training then. We did no weight training, nothing. We stretched, but we all had routines like that where you get to the facility for a noon game, 7:30. I was there by 8:15, do your thing, take your hot tub shower, tape, play a little backgammon, and then get into your space. See, we had to get into a different space, though.
Oh, 100%.
Had to get into a different space.
Sure.
And we had to do it. It didn't matter if it was preseason or regular season, because in the back of most NFL players' head, we all know that you can get severely, severely injured playing football to the point where, I mean, where it almost happened in Buffalo, you could actually die. That's in your head. So you had to get yourself, like, all right, I imagine NASCAR is kind of the same way. Like, I'm going 250 miles an hour. You got to be a little crazy.
So you're compartmentalizing.
Compartmentalizing. Myself, I wanted to be alone. So when I was taped, shoes on, not shoulder pads, I would go into the weight room and just sit there and hide, kind of like behind the machines, and just sit there for probably 45 minutes and get myself into that space.
Okay, I want to keep rolling on Giannis because we got another couple of minutes here getting through the rest of his day. Go ahead, Chris. Pick it up.
Nap time. Don't bother daddy. Close the door. After nap time, get up, kiss my kids again, get in the car, go to the game 3 hours before the game, warm up in the game. After the game, go back, do my boots that you guys have seen me in the internet a lot of times, my Normatec boots. After that, get on the table, do some scraping so my muscles are ready to compete. Go back, watch film, meditate a little bit, stretch, foam roll, go back, tape my ankles, go 30 minutes before the game, watch clips of the other team, hype up your teammates, listen to some music 20 minutes before, go warm up for 15 minutes. 15 minutes, then we hear the national anthem. If you play in Greece, you hear the Greek national anthem. If you play in the U.S., you hear the U.S. national anthem. After that, you go to Doc Rivers, whoever is the coach. He tells you guys, good luck, let's play hard, blah, 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 the same exact thing that you say.
The difference between, I'm gathering, between basketball players and Giannis and football players, you try to burn as little energy as possible.
Sure.
As little energy and nervous energy or obviously physical energy mm-hmm. because you have to go out there and, like, for my position, I had to block 300-pound linemen. I didn't want to be in a weight room getting tired before I had to do that. So that's a big difference. But you do have to get into the space. But for me, they're coming. Holmgren could say whatever, and I'm not hearing them.
Seems like Giannis isn't really hearing whatever either.
Not hearing him. I'm just in my space getting myself prepared to play. I was never a guy I was prepared to go by Saturday. I never looked at a playbook. I never did anything because then you get to the point where you're like, when you second guess yourself is the worst when you're out there. So you're just in like, you're in a cloud. You're in a space until, you know, the first play of the game. And then it takes like three plays. People say a first hit or something like that, but it's literally three plays to get into the flow of the game. And then you hear nothing. You hear nothing. Crowd noise doesn't bother you. The only thing that bothers you is it's annoying.
Sure.
You know?
Just kind of something that's constantly
you. You don't sit
there
and go, God, Super Bowl, there's 130 million people watching and this and that. None of that. Doesn't even come. You're so focused and you're so, everything around you is dead except what happens on that football field.
All right, let's go ahead and continue with Giannis's day.
And then you have 48 minutes to be great. But those 48 minutes to be great is just the cherry on the cake, to say, the icing on the cake. It's not, for me, my day started at 6:30 in the morning. So after that, my favorite part of the whole thing is when the game ends and I do my recovery and then I go speak to my beloved media outlets around the world, you know, and I try, as I said, to keep it light, because if I'm also there serious, you know, it will ruin the whole day. I try to share some jokes, you know, interact a little bit with the people because they're also tired. It's 10 p.m. at night. They want to go home. And after that, I put my kids in the bed, in the car, and I go home and I put them to bed. And then we do it again the next day, every single day.
I wonder if there's pukers in baseball or in basketball.
Like before the game?
Yeah. Because we had probably three or four pukers. Frank was a puker. I think Doug Evans was a puker.
I got to imagine maybe early, but because there's 82 of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing you at some point you kind of settle into a rhythm because you could be playing four games in a week.
Gabe, what was your biggest takeaway from Giannis's day?
It's long.
Yeah, long. I guess my biggest takeaway was I didn't realize there was as much, especially early. Like, I knew of, you know, the shoot-arounds, all that. But it seems like he does a lot to make sure that his body is ready, not just for that game, but he's doing a lot to make sure that his body can play for a long period of time. Like, that's, you know, there are specific things that he mentions in there. That was my biggest takeaway of not just, like, the strength training, but also preventative probably isn't the right word, but just the sustainability of his body.
To me, it sounded exhaustive. I mean, you guys mentioned 6:30, the game ends at 10, he goes home, he puts his kids to bed. One, he mentioned his kids a lot, like three or four times he mentions his kids. To me, they are the highlight of his day.
Yep.
The highlight of his life. Like, so as I extrapolate from what he said, the other stuff is work. It's work. He is very dedicated. He's incredibly committed. He wants to be the best. It is work. He is punching the clock from the moment he wakes up till the moment he takes that nap. And even I could make the argument that that nap in the middle of the day is part of his work assignments as well. All of that stuff is so that he can be the very best for the Milwaukee Bucks, for the NBA, for the Greek national team, and also be his best spouse-ish, soon-ish, dad for those kiddos. But I kind of heard, I think it's weighing on him. I think like the idea when he brought up his kids so many times, I feel like they are the break for him, the joy for him from everything else that is a little bit of a grind, Gabe.
Which isn't shocking. I mean, if you watched the Giannis documentary, you know how important family is, like how bad he wanted to be a dad, right? Because of what his family has meant to him, and he couldn't wait to be a dad and do all those things. And he was, his rookie year, ready to walk away from basketball unless they got his family over here. Because that's, and as he said in the documentary, that's the reason he does this all, is for his family. Like, he, at that point, he's like, yeah, I can walk from basketball anytime as long as I have my family.
I wonder what the day after a game is for them, because Mondays were the worst, win or lose. They're the worst. Mondays is the worst because Holmgren had a system where, You know, you lose a game, you're going to get screamed at. It's just how it goes. You're going to get screamed at. And sometimes when you win a game, you're still going to get screamed at. Because if we were playing back in the day, Detroit sucked, right? But we have San Francisco the next week. you blow Detroit out by 25, you know you're coming in that Monday and you're getting screamed at just because it's San Francisco the next week. I wonder if there's that kind of psychology in basketball, but I wonder if there's too many games where
probably depends on the
they
coach.
Don't do that.
Probably depends on the coach.
I can't imagine you're doing much screaming and yelling over the course of an 82 game season.
Well, that's why the NBA was better in the 90s.
Yeah, they were getting screamed at, like me.
A lot more
feel
yelling.
My pain.
A lot more yelling back then.
I don't know. Phil Jackson just never. You know,
God, when Mike screams yelled too, it was not fun.
The
he looks like a yeller.
Yeah. Transcript of Giannis's comments is available on Twitter. You can read through that if you'd like to. Again, it was 3+ minutes long of him going through his day from 6:30 in the morning until he gets back home, and then he articulated that he does it again and again and again. I imagine that there are some days where he can take a day off. You know, like we saw this off season, he and his family went to Disney World. I imagine he's not doing that routine or something comparable. But it does feel like, Gabe, to your point, he is spending an awful lot of time on his body, on his mental health, making sure that he can play this game for a long time. And yet it does to me, what I read it as is it's a grind. He probably feels very thankful. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's probably incredibly grateful and appreciative for the opportunities he's been given. But at some point, it becomes a job. And it feels to me like now, it is very much a job for Giannis. Not saying he doesn't love basketball. Not saying he doesn't love the opportunities and the fortune that the sport has provided him and his family. But it did feel like a job.
And I'm guessing, Chu, that happens, right?
Well, it's different
like
for
us. Like, you know
us
it's a job.
Because the only fun day for us is Sunday.
Yeah.
Practice stinks. Meetings stink. Everything stinks. Everyone, and that's why football players just complain. You know, I'm serious. We just complain. And my son, who's in the business now, doesn't do it as much, but you know what he does? Complain.
Well, because he's it's leading the meetings like, as a coach. He can't complain. He can't complain about the meetings when you're running the meeting.
No. But no one wants to get screamed at.
No.
Right? That's not fun. It's just the pressure and the anxiety. You know, I wish football allowed you, and well, they do it today. I wish you could play on a Sunday and then play again on a Wednesday. But back in the day, we didn't have really Thursdays and stuff like that. So we had to, it just rotted at you for a week. You know, if you lose a game that you're not supposed to lose, it's just, it sucked. People think it's all, oh, great, this, that. No, it's
It
not.
Sounds like what you're saying, though, Chu, is that the mental element, the mental anguish
grind.
Was way more difficult to manage than your body being put through the rigors, car accident, as they often likened playing an NFL football game, too.
Because back in my day, coaches didn't care. Oh, your knee hurts? It's all swollen? I don't care. Get down the middle of the field, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a grind.
Yeah, I saw playmakers, I know.
Are you allowed to say that word?
Playmakers?
As an ESPN employee?
Playmakers, yeah, probably. Well, actually, probably not. You know what, I did see it. I'm not going to deny that I saw it. Let everybody know.
Wow, yeah, that's bold by Jen over there, as much as ESPN likes to avoid that. Something you should not avoid, though, especially with this holiday weekend, you're going to be out, you're going to be doing some busy things, and at some point, you're going to get home and be like, man, I don't want to make dinner, but I still want something that's really good, and that's where Palermo's comes in. You should make sure that you have some Palermo's family of brands in the frozen pizza stocked in your freezer at all time. I know I do. Right now, I've got a Primo Thin in there, along with a Screamin' Sicilian. I also like the Neighborhood Pizzeria, but you could grab Connie's, Urban Pie, Surfer Boy Pizza, all these brands underneath the Palermo's family of brands. Because they know what they're doing when it comes to frozen pizza. They've been doing this for over 60 years right here in Wisconsin. And with all those brands, they're sure to have one that fits your appetite. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
Apparently, there is some breaking news. Where's our breaking news sounder? Larson.
We now have it. That's the new one. Oh, wait. Now this
is some breaking news.
Gabe, what is the breaking news out of the MLB?
Aaron Civale is the new member of the Milwaukee Brewers, starting pitcher who has had most success with the Cleveland franchise, with the Guardians. He's pitched the last couple of seasons for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Says in trade, do we have any idea what they're trading? Minor
no
league
idea.
Pitcher? Minor league prospect?
It's going to be some minor leaguer, because if you're trading for somebody that has an ERA over 5, you ain't giving up much.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe they think that he's a project.
And so this is the $3 million thing with the Bucks yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Veteran minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, you just need arms at this point. You need arms to get through the season. I don't think, do I think this is the last boot move the Brewers make? I do not.
Okay. We will talk to Sophia Minner in just a few minutes. She will hopefully tell us a little bit more about the acquisition for the Brewers. But Ken Rosenthal of Fox fame was doing a podcast, I believe it was yesterday, and they were talking about, understandably, one of the best teams in the National League, the Milwaukee Brewers. Take a listen to what Ken Rosenthal had to say about the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday.
Well, you're referring to something in the Athletic we call the trade deadline watch, and I wrote it in combination with Will Salmon and Patrick Mooney. And Eric, you raised an excellent question, a great question. That wasn't the purpose of the article, but that might be the subject of a future column, because frankly, you're absolutely right. This is different. They've got a huge lead in the division, relatively speaking. They have a special position player group. They are short in their starting rotation. And this is the way they do it. We get it. But you're absolutely right. Circumstances change. And I know Mark Attanasio, he doesn't like to jump out there and be the guy at the deadline. If anything, they've done things in reverse, the Hader trade being most notable among them. The ads they've made over the years have not been all that significant. At the same time, yes, I can make the case, and you are making the case, that it is time. And I wrote the other day about the Red Sox and them not going for it and how they should go for it. Different circumstance, I know, high revenue team. This team, the Brewers, I believe you are absolutely right. They are doing this with a reduced payroll. They are doing this with a team that lost its manager and lost its best pitcher. This team should be reinforced and applauded for what they've done, not just in a piecemeal way.
It sounds to me like he is saying the Brewers should be buyers. Is
yes.
that how I should be interpreting what Ken Rosenthal is saying?
Not just buyers. Aggressive buyers.
All in buyers. I believe our guy, this guy, right here to my right, said that, Chew, several weeks ago. Did you not say that you thought the Brewers, given how successful they have been, should be going for it this year?
Yes. Go get CeCe. I don't know who CeCe is, but go get CeCe. Yes, that big, Gabe, right?
You get it. Somebody that big's got to be available. That's the problem. And the issue with baseball right now is at the trade deadline, you sacrificed maybe some action at the trade deadline for extra playoff spots, because there are more teams that are alive for the playoffs now than there were, I don't know, 30 years ago when you absolutely loved baseball. And that's part of it. Like a team like the Mets, who 3 weeks ago we thought were going to be sellers, are now suddenly, because of a hot streak, in the mix for a wild card. So they're probably going to be hanging on to some of those players that maybe would have been traded because they want to go for it. So you've got to find the right match in terms of a team that's so far out of it. And if a team that's that far out of it, do they have a player that's worth giving up? That is the quality of a CeCe Sabathia that's remains to be seen.
I know hindsight's 20/20, but do we regret getting rid of Burns?
No.
Why?
Because Joey Ortiz has been phenomenal.
Well, and so that was the other thing that popped for me when I was listening to Ken Rosenthal. He said something about the acquisitions they've gotten recently haven't really panned out. Along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. Willy Adames? William Contreras? Joey Ortiz? Like, those are all acquisitions that they have gotten in the last few years that have really panned out, Gabe. What did he mean? Did he mean specifically at the trade deadline?
Yeah. Like, who is the random white outfielder that they got last year? I'm just blanking on his name.
Play some Jeopardy music here, because
I mean, but that's what those are the guys he's talking about. The guy, I can't even remember his name, that they acquired, and he was supposed to be the bat, and he was fine. He didn't make a huge difference for the Brewers, right? Like, he wasn't the big piece that put them over the top, got them into some sort of position where they were contenders in the postseason. But they've made more minor moves in terms of some of the players that they have acquired. Carlos Santana, who was fine, but he's just not, you know, it's kind of along the lines of this Aaron Civale trade.
Did they make a move when they went to the in LCS?
In 18? No, because they had kind of loaded up. Like, you know,
Moustakas and was that Grandal?
No, you're right.
And Hall?
Grandal was the next year.
Okay.
But you're right. Moustakas was the move that they made that year. But they had acquired Christian and Kane, and they were aggressive that off season in getting some of the guys.
Yeah,
they ended
you
up
have
getting.
To. With baseball, how unfair it is, and you're sniffing, you got to go all in. No? I mean all in, Gabe. I mean all in. Not some...
But again, the problem is there has to be somebody out there worth going all in for. Like, you don't want to go all in and throw all those chips in for somebody who's not CC. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you throw all those chips in and the return is somebody that's less than that.
Is it Mark Canna?
Yeah, that's the one.
I had to look it up. I went back in 2023 acquisitions for the Milwaukee Brewers, and his name was the only one where I was like,
yeah,
can't put a face to it.
Yeah, Mark Canna. Who, again, he was fine, but he was just like, oh, okay, we can throw him in the lineup, but he's okay.
All right, so let's figure out what Ken Rosenthal was saying, which I believe is that the Brewers should be buyers. I want to make sure that we don't misrepresent or paraphrase too grandly what Ken Rosenthal is saying, and we'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. We also are having Sophia Minnert join the show in just a few minutes. We can ask her what she thinks of this thought process that, given where the Brewers are in the National League standings, this is a year for them to go all in. This is a year for them to go out and acquire somebody who can be a difference maker if they exist. Because to Gabe's point, maybe they don't. And again, the Cubs are the worst team right now in the division at 12 games back. Are the Cubs trading with the Brewers? Does anyone see that happening? Does anyone see the Cubs
giving up
any? And
their pitching's pretty good, Gabe. Right?
Yeah, they're starting
pitching up any
good.
Pieces? Does anyone see those two teams, you know, getting warm and fuzzy and working together?
I do not. Okay, don't see that one coming.
Just wanted to make sure. So you can eliminate that team that is doing terribly this year as a potential trade partner, but we'll see if we can find one. Sophia Minnert is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The 2024 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open is coming July 16th at the Vaughn Golf Course, and we want you to be there. Caller number 8 right now will get one spot in our fan foursome, where you will team up with fellow ESPN Milwaukee fans from the other shows. You and your fellow fans will play 18 at the Bog in Saukville and have a chance to win a Milwaukee Brewers grand prize. So call our 8 right now, 800-990-3776. We'll see you on July 16th.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minnert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
To talk about the moves the Brewers are making than our friend Sophia Minnert. Good morning, Sophia.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
We're good. We're good. And we are talking about the Brew Crew, as they, you know, obviously so well deserve. What do you know about this new guy that the Brewers just obtained in trade?
John, I'm not going to lie. I woke up 2 minutes ago.
This is fantastic. Gabe, the breaking news is...
Aaron Civale, right? A pitcher from the Tampa Bay Rays, right? He is now the newest member of the Milwaukee Brewers. They sent a minor league infielder to Tampa to complete the trade.
So beyond breaking down, okay, you know, what he can do and all of that, because that would be very unfair to you as you just woke up a few moments ago, what would a move like this, you know, adding... do for the Brewers, and give us the state of the team right now, because, you know, we have been talking, it feels like, about injuries for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, not to be confused with Ricky Weeks, who is obviously a member of the coaching staff, but this obviously helps, but in what way does this help morale and the journey the Brewers are on this season?
Well, I think it's just, like, first of all, just need. We've talked a lot about the injuries, as you guys said, like, 15 different starting pitchers. They have really tapped into their pitching depth, and then what that does for the bullpen as well, right? Like, so the Brewers, up until this point at the season, have been at or near the bottom in terms of innings per starters. They've also been at or near the bottom of quality starts, meaning going six innings, allowing three runs or more. And that's not necessarily because they're pitching poorly. It's just because they have a lot of inexperience in their rotation. And so they just, and also because of the injuries, they haven't had a lot of guys that have been able to go deep into games consistently. So even a move like they just added Dallas Keuchel, who just made his second start. They acquired him from the Seattle Mariners. He has an incredible career resume. He'd been pitching in AAA. It's a very similar move. So Aaron Civale has a great track record in the league. The Brewers have a long relationship with the Tampa Bay Rays of making moves with that organization. They're kind of very similarly minded. The Rays, you know, they were also kind of at the forefront of using openers, and they're very big into matchups and developing pitching, much like the Brewers are. Matt Arnold, the GM, came over from the Tampa Bay Rays. So there's a long history there. You're going to probably see more moves like this moving forward, up until the trade deadline, as they just try to continue to just supplement their depth and give themselves more options. Against Savali's a guy that's been in the league a while. He has great experience. So honestly, a move like that is not surprising to me. And I think you're probably going to see similar moves like that, over the next couple weeks before the trade deadline.
Sophia, we know there's going to be probably a push on pitchers coming at the trade deadline. Do the Brewers have to overpay to get a top-notch pitcher? Because you take someone like a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers, where they don't really care, because next year they have so much money they can go and replace that, where the Brewers can't. So in order for the Brewers to get a top-notch pitcher, it's kind of like Green Bay was back in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Where they always threaten, like, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to ship you off to Green Bay. And Green Bay, typically early on in free agency, had to overpay to get players to come there. And once they figured out they were winning, then that kind of backed off. But will they have to overpay to go get, like, a CC Sabathia as opposed to some of these other teams?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, first of all, the Brewers have a great reputation in terms of how they develop pitching. And it's, I mean, just the position of the team, it's a favorable place to come right now. I think, you know, we heard that from Dallas Keuchel too, is just like from across the field, they're a team that's always in it. They're always competitive, seem to have a great culture organizationally, a great vibe within the clubhouse. You know, all the positive things that you hear from players, you know, on the other side, there are reputations that are built across the league from that. And so I think Milwaukee has established itself as a favorable place to be, especially as a pitcher coming from a different organization. I don't think they're going to overpay in the free agent market right now. There just aren't many options. Every team is looking for pitching right now. And they're in a pretty good place with their farm system. But again, to acquire a top tier pitcher, like, you could throw out any name, it's going to require, you know, you have to give up a couple good prospects in order to make a move like that, and maybe even throw in some major league ready talent. So I don't know if they're in a position to make that move at this point. I think, again, they've put themselves in a really good position here as the trade deadline comes up closer at the end of the month, but we'll see what kind of moves they decide to go with.
Sophia, the Brewers decided to team up with the Cleveland Guardians to try to get some guys into the All-Star game, and I believe at last check, both Contreras and Yelich led their respective positions, so a big working out. How does something like that come together where they decide, hey, let's work together to make sure we get guys represented at the All-Star game?
Yeah, I think it's fun, right? Yeah, it's that's a credit to the marketing department, honestly. The marketing department, communication, social media, they get together with Cleveland. You know, what's hard with the All-Star voting is, you know, the first couple rounds when it's the fan vote, so much of that is a popularity contest, market size, right? All the things, fans are voting for their favorite players. And so I think it's just a way to collaborate with like a similarly positioned organization to, you know, just support each other, get the fan bases to support each other, try to get obviously the job done, and try to get your players on the finalist list. And then it moves on to like the player and the manager vote. So, yeah, I think it's a fun collaboration. I think we'll find out the results later tonight. We're hoping, you know, William Contreras, he's been at the top of the catcher list, and then Christian has been in the top three for the outfield position. So I think we're hoping for good news for both of them.
Sophia Minert hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here. We were just listening to Ken Rosenthal, who was on a podcast talking about how he essentially thinks the Brewers should be buyers. There's this idea of them being all in just based on what they have done this year. And again, given the injuries that they have sustained and been able to overcome, it's just a really impressive run by them and a great story in baseball. Are you hearing any rumblings? Does it seem like this is a team that is going to be all in as we approach, you know, the All-Star break and the trade deadline?
I guess I would caution against like an all in approach, like, because I think everyone could define that differently, right? Look, historically, they have been buyers at the deadline. They've always made moves to add. That goes back to David Stearns and again, now Matt Arnold. You know, I think the only, you know, exception that you could make to that was 2022 was, you know, when they traded Josh Hader to the Padres, they felt they got a really good return back. The only player that is left from that deal is Robert Gasser, right? Who we saw earlier this year and unfortunately just had Tommy John, but he should be a big part of the Brewers' future here moving forward. I would just say that they've always added. And like we were just talking about, I think where they're going to add the most is with their pitching staff. I think they feel pretty confident in where they are with their position player group. If you're, you know, when you're reading kind of the national narrative on the team, you read about that, you know, a lot of other teams are interested in the outfield group because of just, you know, they're young, they're controllable, they're very talented, they're at the front of their careers. I'm talking about guys like Garrett Mitchell, of course, who just came back up, Sal Frelick. You know, Jackson Chourio will probably be protected from that considering his contract, but there certainly are some desirable pieces on this Brewers roster. And again, in the farm system, they're in a pretty good position. So I certainly expect them to continue to want to add to their depth to just continue this, you know, hopefully a really good second half. But, you know, in terms of all in, I don't know how you want to define that, but I think they'll continue to add.
And you mentioned Garrett Mitchell. He went 1-for-2 with a single in his season debut yesterday against the Rockies. She's Sophia Minert. We appreciate her joining us this morning, getting up, knocking the sleep out of her eyes, and talking Brewers with us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. You'll see Sophia on the Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast for the Brewers tonight. Today? Tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight. All right, Sophia, we'll talk to you again soon. She's gone. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with its culinary creativity. It has inventive flavors and it transcends tradition. So you should experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way over to Pottawatomie. They've got the new sports book, and it is fantastic. I mean, they've got the new restaurant, brand new tastes and scents and all of the things that you could want. They've got a VIP deck that you and your friends can rent out for special occasions. Maybe you got a birthday coming up. Maybe there's a big game that you want to watch, like the Midsummer Classic, for instance. That would be a great place to watch it because they have a 2,000 square foot video board where you can watch all of the games. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, guys. You got to get in on the action. Get down to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and experience the sports book. I got to say, Chu, I am very proud of you. Not even a hint.
You go poop in the potty again?
Sarcasm. He did such a
good boy.
No, he told us in the production meeting this morning he had senioritis. And he said, I don't know how valuable I'm going to be today. I don't know what I can bring to the table. I don't want to be here. And we were like, it's okay. We'll carry you.
It's crazy because he was in such a good mood on Monday because it was Wednesday on a Monday. And usually he loves Fridays. He's energetic on Fridays. And today is a Friday on a Wednesday.
But Fridays follows what?
You didn't have your Blammer Thursday?
There you go.
No Blammer Thursday.
One other thing that was better 30 years ago.
The Blammer?
Me.
Yeah, join the club. Show of hands, who was better 30 years ago? Well, emotionally, no, for me, but everything else. Also financially, not better 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was panhandling to make ends meet, so we're in a totally different space there. So, no, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Thank
because you powered through, you know?
Yeah. Well, the sun's going to be out. I would anticipate as we get outside, no more rain.
He's a Florida resident now. He's used to the hot days.
Yeah,
so that's good, right?
That's good for him.
Feels like home. And you got a big party this weekend.
I love 4th of July.
You're so excited about hosting all those people at your house and the doggies.
Oh, can't wait. We got fireworks tonight, which is lovely, and tomorrow night.
Wait, at the lake?
Yeah.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah. So
really?
I love a good fireworks show.
Yeah, overrated.
I love a good fireworks show. Just one. I only need the one. Just one show, one night, 10 minutes, and I'm good.
What fireworks are you going to on the 4th?
TBD. Not sure.
Ooh.
Haven't figured it out yet. Got a little Summerfest action happening. So,
Milwaukee's fireworks are great.
They're not happening.
Why?
Yeah, they were supposed to be tonight, July 3rd.
They said something on Twitter, and they were like, no, sorry, that's a canceled joke.
Didn't have the money. Didn't have the funding.
Really? Huh. Okay.
Do you know how much they said it costs?
Let me guess. For Milwaukee?
Yeah.
$67,000.
Way more.
Really?
Higher, Bob.
Huh. 100?
Keep going.
Well, that's ridiculous, because I know what Okachi pays, and they do an excellent job, and it's not that much.
The Milwaukee County Parks Department notified the public about the cancellation May 24th. And noting the fireworks.
This number is going to blow your mind.
Costs $350,000 for the pyrotechnics alone.
Hold on. Now, is that all the setup and security and all that? Or is that just strictly the fireworks?
The pyrotechnics alone?
That's a joke.
$20,000 in additional staffing and service costs. They are spending over $250,000 on the fireworks
total joke
alone.
And so again, they typically get sponsors who then pick up a portion of the cost, and they were not able to lock up the sponsors to cover the Big Bang. Therefore, there will be no Big Bang.
That's ridiculous. Because a private owner is putting the fireworks on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is they're probably $40,000 or $50,000. And they're fine.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a huge fireworks show.
Pan it down, but he's right though. It does feel like return on investment.
Yeah,
you don't charge admission for fireworks, right?
Correct.
Like when we go to the fireworks at Disney World, people have paid their admission to get in the park, so at least you're getting a little bit of that money to cover the costs of the nightly fireworks show. For the Big Bang, you can't go. Give me five. You know, to everybody down at Veterans Park. So it does feel like we've never really been able to, you know,
really capitalize off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you have a sponsor throwing money there.
Yeah, that sounds a little steep. A little steep.
Could you start a GoFundMe?
I suppose you could.
I mean, that's panhandling in 2024.
In the digital era, exactly.
The
you start
Summerfest?
A GoFundMe that says, if you want to go to the fireworks, if you want the Big Bang to continue, everybody throw in $5. $5 per person. I throw in $5 for my family of five. You know, and you do get everybody to do that. Maybe then we can raise the money for the Big Bang.
Yeah, but there's wear and tear on the grass. There's wear and tear on the grass. So you got to put a little. So
$8. Yeah,
$8.
Right, and if
$8.
You wanted applesauce.
Yeah.
Don't you dare think about going to the bathroom in the woods.
Another $1 per person. See, we just crowdfunded the Big Bang here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You guys should give us more things to figure out. We're very good at that type of stuff. Have a great holiday, everybody. Stay safe out there. Enjoy it. Happy birthday to America. We will be back with you on Monday.